Welcome to Punta Vista. It's another bonus episode. The morning sun is cascading in through the open window. You lift your head gingerly, your delicate mousy brown hair falling just below your shoulders. You push your petite frame up to find handcuffs on your wrist. You notice you're chained to a four-poster bed. Rubbing your gorgeous blue eyes, you remember the night before when your slutty alcoholic mother sold you to Punta Vista. The room around you is lavishly decorated, with ornate furniture and an Escape from New York poster adorning the walls. Scent of jasmine lingers in the air, mixing with the faint aroma of David Beckham cologne. You can hear muffled voices outside the door. Your heart is racing as the door creaks open. Theo enters, his presence commanding, yet oddly reassuring. He's holding a tray with a cup of tea and some toast. "I brought you breakfast," he says softly, placing the tray on the bedside table. His eyes linger on you, filled with something you can't quite decipher. Compassion, maybe? Maybe something more complicated. You glance at the handcuffs and then back at Theo. "Is this really necessary?" you ask, trying to keep your voice steady. Theo sighs, running a hand through his messy brown hair. "It's for your own protection. The others, they don't trust you yet. But I promise if you behave, we can take these off." Andrew enters the room, carrying a bundle of wires, a microphone, and a laptop. His demeanor is more serious, more aggressive, but somehow you still feel calm. He sets the equipment down on the bed. "We're recording a podcast today, and you're going to be a part of it." You blink your beautiful eyes in surprise, trying to process the sudden shift. "A podcast? Why me?" Andrew doesn't answer. He just begins setting up the microphone, his soft hands deftly connecting the cables and adjusting the settings. "Well, what do you expect me to say?" you ask, trying to keep the tremor out of your voice. Theo hands you a set of headphones, his fingers brushing against yours. "It'll be easier if you just go along with it," he says softly.
"Do we have to do this?"
"We do. There's going to be an incomprehensible scenario at the start that has no bearing on the rest of the show. Just go with it." Andrew points to you, signaling that you're on. Your heart pounds in your petite yet ample chest as you take a deep breath. "Hi, I guess. Welcome to Punta Vista." You take another deep breath, the weight of their expectations pressing down on you. There's no telling what they have planned for you next, but for now, you have no choice but to keep talking, to keep playing along with their twisted game. That was Sold to Punta Vista Part 2. I'm
Lucy. You're not allowed to ride in the second person.
Andrew and Theo are here.
Hello.
Did you get like a light sheen on your forehead while you were riding that?
Yeah.
Or get a little
excited, imagining being sold to some podcasters. I promised a second half.
That'd be the worst thing to be trafficked for.
For podcasting.
Oh, I was trafficked as a podcast host.
Yeah. You're stuck doing this.
Yeah. They took away my visa until I do 200 episodes.
That would be terrible. That would be
awful. Have to
live
off Monster energy drink.
Yeah. But you're here now, so you may as well podcast.
Yeah. Honestly, it would be easier if you did.
And it's actually really easy. Someone's already put the notes together. You just got to talk into a microphone.
You just kind of have to like talk. You can just kind of say whatever.
It's pretty easy
after a while.
Not really on topic, but I've gotten really into giving Gnome like aggressive ear itches. Like I'll put my finger in her ear socket and kind of wiggle it around. And she just goes nuts.
Okay. Like,
smell your finger afterwards?
I do. You know how the...
got him.
You know how you hit that spot like in your own ear with a
with like a Q-tip where it's not supposed to go.
The forbidden
where it hits the spot, right? And your eyes roll back in the head. Well, she's doing that. Her like back leg is just like kicking around like she's had her spine snapped but she keeps coming back for more.
If I touch Winston, I've got to wash my hands immediately after. Yeah. It's kind of just like a sheen of grease.
Yeah, most animals are pleasant to commune with.
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah.
You don't need to immediately slather yourself in hand sanitizer after touching other pets.
I regret giving him a little pat.
How's the new one going, Andrew?
New cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. He's getting fat. He's looking kind of fat.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a little orange tummy.
You should stick your finger in his ear. Give it a wiggle around.
He will bite me, but he doesn't bite hard. He's still biting kitten style.
Yeah.
He goes, "Rah," and then your hand's in his mouth, but like nothing's really happening. It's not very threatening.
Yep.
You know?
He's having a little gnaw.
I'll tell you this. He's, how old is he now? He's over 6 months old. I won't say he doesn't get the toilet situation because he's shitting where he's meant to be shitting.
Sure.
He will occasionally pee on something I would rather he didn't pee on.
Yes.
But he does have this issue where, like, he'll take a big smelly shit in the litter tray and then he takes, like, a step forward and then, like, you know how cats, like, they scrape the litter, try to bury it.
Yeah.
Yep. So he just mimes doing that around the place. He does it on the smooth tiles in front of the litter box.
Yep.
He does it up the wall on nearby cabinets.
Yeah.
He kind of does it everywhere except for on the litter around the turd.
I got bad news.
That's never changing?
You got yourself a fucking idiot. I got one of those too. Gnome Cat has been doing that for literally like 14 years, and she just does enormous wet shits into the litter box and then will like pat the plastic liner and walk away.
And yeah, so he does that. He'll do it like, up cabinets, on the walls, all that sort of stuff. And then he turns around and goes back over and he smells it and he's like, oh, it's weird. It still stinks. Yeah.
Stinks like fucking shit in here.
Like a
big piece
of shit.
Somebody shit in here?
Hey, who left this hot turd in here?
Yeah, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's standard issue on a good 40% of cats. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But hey, when it comes to cats and when it comes to all of us in God's kingdom, Poe Buddy's Nerfect. It's time for Poe Buddy's Nerfect.
Poe Buddy's Nerfect. No, Poe Buddy's Nerfect. No, whoopsie daisy. Nobody's nerfect. No.
Poebody is nerfect.
That's right.
I've been
saying
this
for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you some news from Tasmania, bringing a little south of the border action. Because I found this on Reddit, and it's really something. This is from Pulse Hobart. Tasmanian paramedic sacked after call out to woman with ping pong ball stuck in body.
Okay.
Why'd you put that there?
So, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
What are you thinking?
I'm not thinking anything.
It's normal,
but
it's
you
just
do
a normal
know
place for
like
a ping pong ball to be.
Maybe she, well, like, okay, look, without having read the article,
I'm going to tell you up front that you're not going to find out why she put a ping pong ball in her pussy.
Well, not why. I'm just saying if I were wildly speculating, as I've been known to do, surely someone among us has been like, you know that whole ping pong show thing they do?
Yeah.
Places like Thailand and such. I bet I could do it.
I bet I could do that.
Yeah.
I bet I could do it.
I've been doing my kegels. Yeah.
Doing my kegels, you know. I'm a powerful person.
My shit's popping.
Yeah. My shit's snatched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could bite a cucumber in half with that thing.
If them not, why not me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I?
I have the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce, you know?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And then next thing you know, you just look up and you find yourself in Rebel Sport asking where the ping pong balls are. And they say, do you need any paddles? And you say, I got that shit covered.
Nah.
Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Just the balls, brother. Just the balls.
Then you're calling this guy. a Tasmanian paramedic who was fired after he was accused of improperly removing a ping pong ball from a woman's body has failed in his bid to be reinstated.
Is there a manual on proper way?
Oh, you'll find out. The incident occurred in the early hours of December 14, 2020, when a woman called 000 from Old Beach just before 11 p.m. on December 13. The woman told the operator a ping pong ball was stuck in her vagina, but she was pretty good and just laying there.
Waiting for the next thing to happen, I guess. Not
a big deal, but maybe if you could send somebody.
I've exerted myself a lot trying to get it out. I'm just waiting to recover my strength.
Yeah.
I'll have another couple of goes.
Surely this is a, I wonder, what if, let's experiment kind of situation, right?
Surely.
Like on play school or whatever it is.
She seems to have been alone, like no one else is with her.
Yeah.
It's just a shampoo bottle in the ass situation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a little fun, and next thing you know, I'm going to need another set of hands to sort this out.
Yeah. The ambulance arrived at the woman's house around 4:30 a.m., almost 6 hours after the initial call for help. Obviously had more important things to deal with than ping pong ball pussy.
Well, she didn't express any urgency, so you know,
she really didn't. That's kind of on her.
Have you guys ever waited for anything as far as medical services go? Because, I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, you're going to wait for a while. Shit sucks. The woman reportedly undressed and lay on the couch where a female ambulance officer parted her labia. The male paramedic, who is based out of New Norfolk, then inserted medical forceps into the patient's vagina to a sufficient depth to make contact with the ping pong ball. He then determined the ping pong ball could not be easily removed. The woman was transported to the Royal Hobart Hospital.
Okay.
Paramedic was fired in June 2022, almost 2 years after the incident. He told the Tasmanian Industrial Commission that he was only undertaking an examination to see if he could remove the object. He said the woman had been adamant she didn't want to go to hospital and had asked him to remove the ball instead. The commission found the officer was attempting to remove the object without appropriate training with an inappropriate instrument, which was outside his scope of practice. It was ruled this was a valid reason for termination and that the conduct was serious.
So this guy doesn't have his license.
This man has been a paramedic for a long time. So when I first read this story, I was like, there's got to be more to it than that. Surely
this guy's
a paramedic
like 25
can make a mistake, use the wrong thing. Maybe you're not meant to use forceps for that. I don't know.
Did he try to get it out by putting more ping pong balls in?
Yeah.
You know?
He tried to pile them in and get her to pop it out or something. No. Like, she seemed adamant that she wanted it taken out. So I went and found the decision about this from the Tasmanian Industrial Commission. Found this man, Mr. Duggan is his name. There's quite a long list of reasons for this man's dismissal that are not really related to the ping pong ball.
Okay.
The ping pong ball was the
kind of the
straw that broke the camel's pussy.
Yeah. Thanks, Theo. Let's start here. Mr. Duggan has a history of inappropriate or questionable conduct with Ambulance Tasmania. Ambulance Tasmania's human resources file in relation to Mr. Duggan discloses the following matters. In March 1994, Mr. Duggan had a period away from work in circumstances of workplace conflict in which he was involved. Documents relating to that matter note that Mr. Duggan had a tendency to, quote, bend the rules, which rendered him prone to conflict with management.
Okay. So he's a loose cannon.
All right. He's kind of a loose cannon. He kind of does things differently.
Yeah.
He doesn't play by your rules.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I can't use forceps. Oh, well, watch me.
Yeah.
You know? On 19th of February, 1997, Mr. Duggan was cancelled about attending work, suffering the effects of excessive alcohol consumption.
Look, it's a tough job. Sometimes.
It is a tough job. Stressful. Yeah. Traumatic.
You probably see some unpleasant things.
Where else do you want to be hungover than surrounded by people who can care? They have
put
on a saline drip, maybe?
Absolutely.
Probably got all kinds of hydrolyte there.
Yep.
During his performance review in 1997, it was noted that Mr. Duggan's behavior demonstrated to staff that it was quite acceptable to, again, bend the rules. On the 24th of March 1998, Mr. Duggan was reprimanded for carrying his children in the front seat of an Ambulance Tasmania vehicle while he was transporting a patient.
Hmm. All right.
Killing two birds with one stone is a problem now?
Yeah.
Maybe no reason. No one else could take the kids. We've all been there.
And we're up to 1998.
March 2002, Ambulance Tasmania received a complaint from a female of sexual harassment by Mr. Duggan.
Ah.
Mm.
There it is.
It's one, though. I mean...
Just one.
As long as this doesn't become a pattern.
Oh, well, there's a bit of smoke, but it's not much smoke, you know? I hope I don't see any more smoke.
It must be so hard to get fired from a government job.
Yeah. I mean, they need ambulances. The ambulance, well, need paramedics. Ambulances.
Yeah,
need ambulances.
I was going to say, especially one of the ones where they're like, God, we wish there were more people who wanted to do this.
To do this,
this awful underpaid job.
Yeah, beggars can be choosers, apparently.
Yeah. In May 2005, Mr. Duggan was given a formal instruction not to carry capsicum spray whilst carrying out his duties when he was found to have been unlawfully carrying that product whilst on duty.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is it lawful? That's not even, it's not lawful to carry it while you're not on duty either in Australia.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you can carry it anywhere, personally. 5th of October 2010, Mr. Duggan lodged a workers' compensation claim when he was the subject of an allegation of inappropriate conduct by a female patient. He denied the conduct alleged. Don't worry, it gets funnier.
All right.
11th of April 2015, Ambulance Tasmania received a complaint about Mr. Duggan's unsympathetic treatment of a child. We've all been there. Sick of these kids, these injured kids.
Yeah.
2017, received a complaint about Mr. Duggan being rude to a patient and his family.
What was the member of your family doing? Were they acting like a bitch?
Yeah,
exactly.
What
were they acting
like
a bitch, you know? 2016.
Maybe you get there. Maybe you're on like the tail end of an 18-hour shift. You've just had to pepper spray some guy.
Yeah, your fifth patient.
Who was being rude to you. Your fifth false sexual allegation patient.
Yeah. And then you get there. You get to your next call and they're like tapping their watches. They're going, what took so long? If this was a pizza restaurant, it'd be free.
Yeah, you'd be getting no tip.
Luckily, the ambulance is free in Tasmania. On the 1st of August 2016, Ambulance Tasmania received a complaint about Mr. Duggan driving recklessly towards New Norfolk.
Okay.
All right. And then on the 14th of November 2005, a little older one, but my favourite, Mr. Duggan was reprimanded for twice using an Ambulance Tasmania vehicle to spread horse manure on his property.
Not once.
Not once. So Mr. Sexual Assault, Mr. Ping Pong Ball Forceps also used an ambulance vehicle to spread horse manure on his property and is also driving his kids around in the front seat.
Okay. He's having fun with it.
It was the ping pong ball that finally made him say, enough. Enough, sir.
Yeah. But it must be so hard to fire people. So
it must be, right? Like, you've got sexual harassment allegations and they're like, but he's so good at his job, damn it.
Oh, I'm sure that, like, people outside of Australia probably don't understand. Like, how hard it is to fire someone from a job.
Yeah, so, a relative of mine recently told me a story that, so there was someone that came back from a leave of absence and they're like, hey, watch out for that guy. And there was like a few comments like that made and she couldn't really work out what was going on. And then eventually someone, like, she cornered someone and they're like, yeah, so at one point, this whippersnipper went missing and everyone's like, where's the whippersnipper? Where's the whippersnipper? And then they, the business got a call from a servicing place to say, hey, your whippersnipper's ready to pick up. And then they went to pick it up and they're like, oh no, it's already been picked up by employee X's wife, and she's taken it home. And so they go around to their place, and they're like, "Hey, our the landscaping whippersnipper, it's in your house." And they're like, "No, it isn't. Hey, the whippersnipper that's gone missing, you guys have it." No, we don't.
Just,
no.
Okay.
And doesn't sound like me.
And they didn't fire it because, like, they got the police involved, and police are like, "Oh, this really sounds like something for you guys to sort out amongst yourselves." Because remember, police don't do anything.
Yeah, the police love saying, "Wouldn't it be better if you sorted this out?"
This seems like something
having
you guys
to be involved?
Could get all together and kind of sort out, like, you know, so we don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
you know,
just ask around, you know, have a chat about it.
And he still works there.
I have worked at large corporations where, like, a senior manager was having an affair with, like, a female subordinate who was a fair bit younger than him. He was married, and they just, like, transferred them both off to different offices, like it was a fucking Catholic diocese.
Yeah. It's so hard to get fired. The Australian workplaces just bully you until you leave, basically.
Yeah.
And like, or just basically park you in a corner and nobody talks to you and they don't give you any work and they just kind of hope that you get bored enough to fuck off on your own.
Uh-huh.
I was just talking to a friend of mine she had been off her job on maternity leave, and when she got back, they were like, "By the way, you manage three people now, and here they are," right? And she was like, "So, you know, I organized to catch up with each of them." And one of them was just like whinging about where he currently was. You know, he was like, they're a consultancy, so he's placed at some business consulting. And he was whinging about it, and everything they've talked about the whole time since she's been back has been this dude just fucking complaining about the job, right? And she's like, "I mean, I'll do what I can, but also I would understand from the sounds of things if you didn't want to be here anymore, you know?"
Mm.
This guy has a conversation with her boss in which he says, "Can you extend my probation period?" Right?
Okay.
So, again, for context for listeners outside of Australia, in Australia, you get a permanent job. In a lot of places, you are protected by a six-month, well, not protected, but like there's a six-month probation period in which it'll be part of your workplace contract or agreement or whatever. And if in that time the workplace is like, "This isn't working out for us," or you have misrepresented, you know, your qualifications, whatever it might be, we can get rid of you and there aren't like huge repercussions, right? But once you get outside of that probationary period and you're locked into a permanent role, you have the protections of workplace law in this country.
Yeah, and they can't just like fire a whole swathe of you. We're not a, like, is it America, like right to work?
Yeah.
I don't know, the backwards ass thing where you know, you can just basically be culled for no reason unless you have like a severance agreement in your contract, but you can't do that in Australia.
Yeah, you can't say, "Ooh, the share price is down a bit. We're just firing 5,000 people." Yeah.
Now, we have to pay redundancies to people. We didn't plan for this.
So the employee, not the boss, says, "Oh, can you extend my probation period?" And the boss goes, "Why?" And he says, "So I only have to give a week's notice." And somehow
planning ahead, that's good.
Somehow this conversation does not end with the boss saying, "What if we just go our separate ways?
What if we just sort this out now?"
Yeah.
Why don't we
save you the time and hassle and just wrap it up here, you know? Like you can be in a fucking meeting with your boss during your probation period, basically saying to him, "I am actively looking for other work," and not walk out of it fired.
Yeah.
that's Australia, baby.
Ooh, and like, that's freedom.
Like, I am extremely in defense of, like, you know, workers' rights and protections and everything. But this is one of those times where I was just like, and they didn't fire the guy?
Yeah, crazy to me. They should have fired the ambulance sexual harasser drunk at
probably
work,
a while ago.
Guy.
Yeah.
Probably like
some
a while
things
ago.
That you should just say, like, you know what? This probably isn't for you, this ambulancing thing.
Yeah.
This whole ambulance gig.
Although a lot of, like, absolute sociopaths work in healthcare.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Nurses, I do, am I right?
I do genuinely and greatly sympathize with like, ambulance drivers and all that sort of stuff, because I have no doubt that it is
sucks.
A job where you are, like, abused by people regularly, where you are assaulted, where you're trying to, like, render treatment to somebody who is having, like, a mental health breakdown while a cop stands nearby and says, if you don't get him to calm down, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him to the lockup, you know? Like, I'm sure people see a lot of really horrible stuff being called out as they're, like...
Yeah.
Being called out as a paramedic to, like, a horrible car crash or something like that, you know?
And
a lot of things in there that are going to cook your brain.
You probably should let them use the ambulance to spread manure around the place. That's probably the compromise,
like,
right?
That's a compromise, not the other
not
stuff.
The,
but he should be
the,
able to...
Not the other, you know...
You have to clean
stuff.
The ambulance, obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously, you have to clean the ambulance.
Thing.
Maybe it was
but
a different,
like,
ambulance Tasmania car, but...
Yeah.
You used it to spread horse... Strange thing to do.
Yeah.
Did you drink in there, Andrew?
Drinking a...
Is that a White Claw?
A Monsuta Okinawa Dry Premium Draft.
Ooh.
I've heard that. It's a Monsuta.
Where are you from? I'm trying to figure out if it's a...
Oh, it's absolutely a, like, CUB or Asahi made in a factory.
Yeah. Brewed and canned in Japan by Orion Breweries.
Wow.
There we go.
Wow.
And it's,
how
and
embarrassing
it's
for me.
Perfectly fine.
That's a totally fine beer.
Boy, I tell you, when you work all those years as an ambulance driver and they won't let you spread manure all over your lawn using the ambulance... You kind of feel a little like you've been scammed. It's time to look into some other scams. Let's scam watch.
Warning, warning. Someone has successfully or unsuccessfully attempted a scam and must be judged. This is Scam Watch.
This comes to us from WLNS in Michigan, the Woolens. Local veteran service dog provider accused of embellishing service record.
Local
veteran service dog provider.
Local
service dog provider.
It's not a. It's they're not providing service dogs that are vets.
Just the
no,
service,
I think
service dog
dogs
have to
with,
have a record.
Service dogs with Gulf War syndrome.
It's like, you ever seen those videos of when like, a TSA sniffer dog is retiring?
Yeah.
And they, like, throw a bunch of tennis balls at him? It's like,
yeah.
they weren't doing anything useful anyway. You don't need
they don't
to
know
the
that they had
treatment.
A job either.
No.
They don't know what that is.
You're retired now. I'm still a dog. You know? They don't.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
They don't know where to buy Hawaiian shirts.
Mm.
You know, they don't know what a pina colada is.
No.
Can't go to Jimmy Buffett restaurant. Can't do
what
anything
What do they
fun.
Do? Do they just cast them loose like dog Ronins? Like,
straight out into the street.
Yeah.
Got to find your own drugs
what
now.
What the fuck do I do now?
Yeah. It's all I knew.
A Six News investigation has revealed the leader of a non-profit agency working with veterans has misled his volunteers, donors, clients, and the media, greatest crime of all, about his military service record, including embellishing his rank and claiming to have been a special operator for the U.S. Air Force. Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah, this is
all the
a crazy
missions
thing
I went on,
to do that you
two
can
secrets
just look
to talk
up.
About.
Like, you can just look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
I think that's why people like doing the, like, Chris Kyle / Steven Seagal kind of stuff, where they go, oh, yeah, like...
I was like a secret one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always like, hey, maybe the CIA tapped me on the shoulder to help with some stuff. But if they did, I couldn't say.
Mm. Yeah.
You
know? Weak.
It's wild that people just like say this shit. Because people like, you know, they had Anna Navarro at the DNC the other night. And just, like talking about how her and her family were like cut loose from communism. And that sort of stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, so how comes that? Why did that happen? Like, and it's always like, oh, because they were enormous capitalist piece of shit that were just like slaveholders or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even want to look up what this one was. Who gives a shit? It's always the same thing. And you go like, people just look that up.
Yeah.
But like, they're ready to like stand on a stage and go, you know, communism killed me. And my
Castro
family.
Took my family's farm.
Yeah, Castro took my family.
Why?
Yeah.
For some reason. I saw a couple of videos the other day of Steven Seagal where somebody had like, they'd done like a supercut of all these different interviews over the year and were just cutting together all the different ethnicities that he had claimed to be. all the different like, yeah, oh, actually, yeah, well, I've got this Italian background and, you know, some stuff with the mob and like Asian stuff and Irish stuff and Russian and like just whoever he's talking to, he just throws it out there. And he's also done that a whole bunch with the military shit where he loves acting like he was in the CIA. He's told people he was like personal security detail for the Shah of Iran in the 70s.
Lying like that.
Yeah, it must be lying. Like, I wish I had the DNA for it. For important stuff, right? Like, yeah, to be like a fabulist.
Yeah. I feel like once you start, like, it gets more and more. Like, once you get used to doing it. Yeah, it's really Moorish.
Yeah.
Lying fabulously.
Lying is very Moorish.
Doing the Bilbo. After all, why shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I lie? Why
shouldn't I tell people I was in the CIA? Yeah. Oh, man. So, Kirk A. Lanham, 52, is the executive director, president, and founder of Veteran Service Dogs Association, the VSDO, and has claimed since at least 2017 to have been a special operations member with tours in combat zones all over the world.
Mm. Very cool.
He's also claimed to be a brigadier general and a two-star general, also known as a major general, appearing at promotional and fundraising events wearing a camouflage uniform bearing those ranks and patches from U.S. Air Force Special Operations.
You got greedy with the lie.
Claiming that you're a spec ops operator, like classic. That's just straight up, my uncle worked at Nintendo shit.
Yeah. My uncle's a brigadier general.
My uncle's a brigadier general?
Sorry, that just reminded me.
He actually holds the second highest rank in the US Army.
My stepson came home to the other day, my 8-year-old stepson, and said, some girl at school told me that her dad is Mr. Beast. I was like, I don't think that's fucking true. I had to look it up. I was like, how old is he? Is he even old enough? I thought the guy was like 35. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, but he's aging like a beast, like a demon. Mm.
What if he was hot? Like, what if he became hot? That'd be crazy.
What if he got any of that money into like a haircut? I don't know.
Maybe just a different haircut.
Also, Mr. Beast Australian? Question mark.
Yeah.
If you ever see a picture,
you dumb
of
bitch, you think crazy no one would check?
Stupid fucking lie. He's American. You fool.
If you ever see
I
a photo,
see the
of
bitch that said this.
Sorry, this is an anti-child podcast. Now we're all for having kids.
Yeah.
But once you've got them, you're done. You know.
You're done.
Yeah. When I'm at the school, I'm going to be like, point her out to me. Point her out to me. Which one?
Point her out to me. I'm going to ask it myself. You watch this.
Imagine if, like, for
reason trap.
Imagine if for small children of the current age, this was the equivalent of like telling a child that his absent father was like a war hero.
Yeah, your dad left you.
I know you've never met your dad. He's been busy building villages in Jamaica.
Mm. Yeah,
he's been planting trees.
He's so popular. He gives so much to the world. Yeah, your dad, Mr. Beast.
But you can't tell anyone because all the other kids will be so jealous. They'll wish Mr. Beast was their dad.
Yeah, very important.
That's why you can't tell anybody.
You don't tell anybody.
Hey, this is from an LA Times profile of Steven Seagal in, I believe, 1988. So this is before his debut movie came out. And they've lined up, like, interviews with him at various places to, like, sell the movie.
Right? Okay.
Quote, "In Asia, you'd be amazed how many people are connected with the agency," Seagal explained one night on the film set in Chicago, where he was fighting off a migraine headache. "A lot of the American military has been over there since the occupation, and they've become very connected to the intelligence community. These guys were my students. They saw my abilities, both with martial arts and with the language. My CIA godfather told me he'd never heard any Americans speak Japanese so well. I would say I was a prime candidate to be recruited." Did Seagal actually work for the CIA? He offered a qualified admission, or perhaps a qualified denial. "You can say that I lived in Asia for a long time, and in Japan I became close to several CIA agents," he said, choosing his words carefully. "And you could say that I became an advisor to several CIA agents in the field and, through my friends in the CIA, met many powerful people and did special works and special favors."
So I'm picking my words very carefully because language is important, but was he, air quotes, kicked in the head as a child? Like, you know, right? Like,
he seems like a person, because obviously I am more familiar with the life and works of Steven Seagal than your average person.
Yes, I'd say that's
more so than it is healthy to be. From everything I can see, Steven Seagal has just been a serial fabulist for his entire adult life.
Yeah,
and he's just getting away with it.
Yeah, he's
Gemini.
Well, he's just been a person who was just. Is he a Gemini?
Type it.
Just Google. I'm sorry. Just
Steven Seagal star sign. What is he?
He strikes me as a Virgo.
10th of April. What's that?
Not a Virgo.
Not a Virgo.
No, not a Virgo. Interesting.
Seagal declined to offer many details, refusing to cite specific missions or locales. However, when asked about the authenticity of a scene in Above the Law that shows an intelligence operative injecting a rival with a deadly chemical truth serum, Seagal said, "That's not made up. That's something that really happened."
So it's definitely not made up. He's doing the fantastical stuff. No one's ever spoken Japanese that well.
Like, he also claims to be the first person to ever, like, open a martial art or, like, run a martial arts dojo in the East. Like, the first white person, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, I think the reality was that his first wife was a Japanese lady whose dad owned a dojo, and then he married into it and ran classes there. And then he's like, "That's right, I am the last samurai." You know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
the engine.
He absolutely has just made up cool stories about himself for his entire adult life, and everyone went, "Really?
Really? Okay."
And then at some point, we had the internet installed.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Call Steven Seagal a liar to his face?
It'd be pretty funny. On April 19th, 2023, Lanham, in civilian clothing and with one of his service dogs at his side, walked up to the podium at the Hamburg Township Planning Commission. "Good afternoon. My name is Brigadier General Kirk Lanham," he said. "I am 34 years on paper with the United States Air Force and 22 years active combat." His military records, obtained by Six News from the Air Force Personnel Center in Texas, as well as the National Personnel Records Center of the National Archives, show Lanham served just under 2 years in the US Air Force, from July 1990 to June 1992. Those records reveal that when he separated from the Air Force, he had a rank of Airman Basic, E1. Is that just a private? Basic. Is that just an Air Force private?
This is yeah.
Is it just like, yeah, a private?
Just Googling US Air Force lowest rank. It is indeed Airman
is
Basic.
Is it Airman Basic? Right. Okay.
Airman Basic bitch.
It's really funny.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. I know I'm on record saying this on the podcast, but I probably haven't said it for like 3 years. Fuck, I love Stolen Valor, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super funny.
It's such a cool, funny thing to do.
It's so offensive. It's really funny.
Yeah. It makes so many people really mad, and there isn't even a great reason to do it most of the time. I reckon like
it's risky, it's stupid.
We did a story, I think, years and years ago about an Australian guy who had done a Stolen Valor thing where he was like in a pub and I don't know, he got mistaken for somebody or like as a joke, he made a reference to something and like over the course of months, this went from people going, oh, you were in Iraq or whatever, let me buy you a beer. And it just got to this point where he's like in uniform giving talks to local schools and stuff like that.
That rocks.
Just and, when, like,
and when they caught him and pulled him up and they tried him and everything, because they do that in Australia, you know, if you're like wearing uniforms and medals and shit that you didn't earn or whatever, they will charge you with a crime. And in court, he straight up said like, man, that all just got really out of hand.
Yeah, that shit got crazy.
This really got away from me.
Oh, well. Yeah, it rocks. It's so good. Especially because, like, even, like, Australia, we've just eaten shit. Obviously, there's been, as much as a war can be just, there's been no just wars for, like, 80 years. But, like, even so, like, the Anzacs, like, we just went and died on a fucking beach somewhere in Turkey.
Yeah,
we
just fucking died. Yeah.
I mean, just like, oh, we're just going to ship a bunch of you to a beach to be shredded by the Ottomans. Like, what's the fucking valor of Australians? Like, what are we even doing anywhere?
They fought for our woke-free society. They fought for us to have no woke.
You think the diggers fought for us to have cat girls, huh? You think the diggers fought for you to watch a furry Twitch stream? No.
If they didn't, then who did?
Who will?
Who won those rights for me? I'm going to buy them a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the one that makes cat girls?
Pregnant Sonic.
I was reading maybe a profile of Russell Crowe, I'm going to say,
boy.
A little while ago.
I've been doing a lot of that lately.
I saw
about
Wikipedia.
Russell Crowe specifically?
Yeah,
or?
Like just reading about Russell Crowe.
Help me out here real quick, just like off the top of your domes. I saw a Wikipedia article refer to him, and this is not the Russell Crowe Wikipedia article. This is a Wikipedia article for a film. Sorry, Russell Crowe. Refer to him as Maori.
Refer to Russell Crowe as Maori.
Help me out with this.
In fact, maybe. Help. Maybe like part?
Okay.
I'm
all right. But then I went to his page and I couldn't find anything. So, wildly, or are we just doing like...
Is he stealing valor? Or is
blood
that-
race, yeah.
Crow is Maori.
No, he says he is.
He is? There you go.
Through his maternal great-great-grandmother.
Hmm.
So, like a little bit.
Look, that's not... We don't have to.
A little
bit. I don't think we need a group of white Australians to start
that.
Weighing in on... What?
He's allowed to say that.
I'm hitting the not qualified button here. Eject. Would you like to see...
Oh, wait. Here's a question on Quora.
Okay.
Oh
my god.
Russell Crowe is 7/64 Maori. Why isn't he regarded as an actor of color when Meghan Markle, who is 3/8 black, is?
Oh my god.
No.
Oh. the Quora geniuses getting at it again.
Anyway, what were you going to say about Russell Crowe?
Let's break out the calipers.
Just that he was doing an interview with Mike Willacy. Honestly, I was reading some profile where it quoted him saying something about Gallipoli at the time that his movie The Water Diviner came out, which was maybe from 2014 or something. And I was just looking it up, and what he said about it at the time, he was doing an interview with Mike Willacy when he said, quote, "Australia invaded a sovereign nation," he said. "You know, I think after 100 years, it's time to expand the mythology. I think we should be mature enough as a nation to take into account the story that the other blokes have to tell. Because we did invade a sovereign nation that we never had an angry word with," he said.
Wow.
Fucking go off, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Go off, King.
All right.
Kirk never attended special operations school or other training that would be part of a special operations service member's military file. Latham did not respond to multiple requests for comment for some reason.
Yeah. Probably good.
Latham's embellishments of his service and rank were brought to the Six News Investigates team's attention by a former volunteer for the organization on June 15th. I wonder how this person got wind
of it. Yeah, I love that. Like, somebody's reported him, which is very funny.
Someone was just like, fuck this guy.
This guy's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Quote, "I felt betrayed and used," Edgar Jones, 59, said. He provided the Six News Investigates team with his initial discoveries about Lanham's service claims. Jones began interacting with VSDO in 2020 when he applied for and obtained a service dog. But earlier this year, Jones became suspicious of Lanham when a growing stack of banker boxes appeared in an area of the facility behind a door labeled Suite 1. What the fuck is a banker box? Or
I have no idea.
Bank box.
One of those brown boxes, maybe?
Yeah, it's a box.
"A veteran's life on paper," he said. "Oh, stacks of bank boxes full of documents and files, 3 to 4 foot high." He said Lanham had organizational volunteers sorting the files. "Financial documents all over tables and chairs," he said, of the chaos of the deconstruction of the, quote, "veteran's life on paper." Lanham has been pleading poverty in previous months, telling volunteers it was unclear if the organization could pay the phone bill or other utilities, Jones said. But then in April, extravagant new purchases started.
Oh no, he's low taxing.
"A new security camera system was installed. It had facial recognition and was paid for by the U.S. Department of Defense," Jones was told by Lanham.
Sure thing.
"New bulletproof doors were paid for."
Oh my God.
"A high priority for a service dog building, I'm sure."
A service dog building, yeah.
Yeah.
"Lawn equipment, a camper trailer, a Hyundai Palisades."
Paid for that by the Department of Defense, I guess. That's my Hyundai Palisade.
"All of it," Lanham told a more and more concerned Jones, the result of grants and the generosity of the DOD. Jones began his own investigation into Lanham's past, his service, and his stories because of his concerns related to the spending and the veterans' paperwork. On paper, VSDO was formed as a domestic nonprofit with the state of Michigan and received a formal charitable organization designation from the IRS in 2019. Operating out of a blue building on Grand River Avenue in Howell, tax filings from 2019 and 2020 show the organization survived on less than $50,000 in those first 2 years. Even with this financial challenge, the organization was able to connect 700 dogs with veterans to support and help each other. Jones said that number has increased to about 1,000 teams. At least that's what Lanham has claimed in various public events and conversations with veterans and volunteers.
Okay.
All right. So he's claimed that. So the number is probably
smaller than that.
Probably smaller than that.
Probably just
smaller than that. It's probably some dogs.
There's a lot of dogs, I would say.
Yeah.
Lanham has always touted his status as a veteran. He has claimed to have been assigned, quote, "civil engineering special operations," according to a transcript of a video testimonial.
Yeah, and he's also a brigadier general.
And that too.
And also, yeah, I'm thinking, I'm the mayor?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I've got a Michelin star.
Of Miami.
Yeah. Oh, what else?
They did make me the emperor of a county in Kuwait.
Yeah.
In the mid-90s.
I was the first black guy to walk on the moon.
First guy to get I had to get a dick reduction because mine was too large.
It was distracting. It made everyone else feel bad. In a Livingston Daily report on the possible passage of the PAWS Act in 2019,
Fuck off.
Lanham claimed to be a, quote, combat controller and forward operator in countries such as Bolivia, Panama, Kuwait, and Iraq.
All places you shouldn't have been in the first place.
Yeah. What were you doing there?
What were you doing there? Why would you claim to have done that?
Well,
yeah.
But God.
Anna Navarro's father fought with the Contras, by the way. Just
Jesus.
In case you were wondering.
Lanham told his volunteers he'd been an operator. In a transcript of an interview with him from 2017, he said in a testimonial video he was, quote, civil engineering, special operations. He told Jones he was part of the Joint Special Operations Command. You told him you were JSOC?
I'm an operator.
Yeah, I've been, I was sort of like it in JSOC, sort of like vice director of NATO. Probably. Yeah,
I fought in Black Ops. Yeah. I fought in World War II.
Yeah, I fought in Black Ops too.
I fought in Modern Warfare 2. I've been an operator in all of them.
In 2022, something changed. Quote, a lot going on, just kind of on the world stage, Russia and Ukraine and so forth, Nathan Buchanan told Six News. Buchanan is Kirk Lanham's 24-year-old stepson. One night, he sat me down at the kitchen table and said, I got to tell you something, Buchanan said. And then he said, the Air Force is bringing me back in.
That's
we told your stepson.
That's got to be a top five conversation you could have with your stepdad. Yeah. Your fucking lying ass stepdad. You lying ass stepdad. Piece of shit.
No way he doesn't lie about every fucking other thing in his life.
No way. Like,
God, it'd be exhausting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know we'll never like see eye to eye on stuff, but we've got good news and bad news.
Stepson, I know that you're woke, but...
Yeah. I know that you're woke. I know that I beat you because you didn't respect me in my trips to Bolivia and Panama.
But they need me in Kiev yesterday.
They need me back in the Philippines for another
time. Zelensky's asked for me. He needs my skills.
In addition, Buchanan said Lanham claimed, quote, he was being promoted to a one-star general in the Air Force.
Yes,
and that kind of blew me away. I wasn't expecting that. Photos provided by volunteers and veterans involved with VSDO show Lanham with a long and thick beard wearing Air Force digi camo fatigues adorned with patches from Air Force Special Operations, a Special Tactics Officer duty patch, and a Joint Special Operations Command
so
patch.
So where did
Fucking
he get
hell.
These? Did he just order them online on Redbubble?
I would guess that that's the case.
Yeah.
I have just Googled eBay JSOC patch.
Okay.
You can get yourself a Joint Special Operations Command JSOC patch for US $19.
That is good to know.
From Popular Patch on eBay.
I mean, it's a pretty dope patch.
It says we love the nightlife on it.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. It's like all those DEA drug task force ones where it's like the war on drugs bad, the patches pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Jones, Buchanan, and other veterans involved in the organization told Six News Lanham would occasionally rush out of the building. You'd just be sitting there with him, and next thing you know, he's running out the door, Buchanan said. He can't tell you why, he says. I have to go report to so-and-so, or, I have an assignment I got to get to, or whatever. And so you never knew when it was going to happen, but it usually was when he was at the office, because, for the past 5 or so years, that's where he spends more of his time. But it would happen quite often. Jones, while talking with Six News, sitting at a table at a basement bar downtown, nodded in agreement. He made a lot of claims about having to leave the country or having to meet at the Pentagon or some other location with a person he would refer to as Carlos. Carlos, Lanham revealed, was Carlos del Toro, U.S. Secretary of the Navy, according to Buchanan and Jones, telling my stepson I have to leave dinner.
To meet Carlos the Bull?
To meet Carlos the Bull, U.S. Secretary of the Navy. The other veterans who spoke on Background told Six News Lanham claimed to have been promoted from Brigadier General to a 2-star general in a secret weekend ceremony at the Pentagon. Hey, they didn't want to make a big deal. Didn't want to make everybody jealous. They were already upset about my huge dick.
Yeah, everybody's so jealous of me. They're all haters.
The promotion, he told them, was bestowed by his, quote, friend, end quote, Carlos. He also told those same veterans he decided not to show up to the weekend ceremony. Huh?
Yeah, because he's got a secret one, a special secret one from Carlos because of his work.
During a July 25th visit to the organization's facility on Highland Road in Osceola Township, Lanham told Six News he holds a doctorate from MIT.
Yeah, all right.
And attended the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Buchanan said Lanham told him he has a doctorate from Northern Michigan University. Two doctorates. Good on him.
Two doctorates.
Northern Michigan, is that prestige?
I don't know. MIT, though. I also directed the video clip for the song Starlight. You guys like that video clip? That was me.
And produced Daft Punk's album Discovery?
Yeah.
You know? I don't like to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I'm punk from Daft Punk.
Well, you know, we kept our helmets on the whole time because I didn't want to compromise the security of Operation Enduring Freedom. But it was important to me to express myself through music. The four veterans who volunteered with VSDO and spoke with Six News on the Background all told similar stories of not pushing too hard on potentially sensitive and classified actions. The four agreed to empower Jones to speak on their behalf. Each of them relayed a story Lanham had told to many. He would regale his volunteers with the tale of the time he was leading a, quote, public access training, a part of the program's training for the service dogs and their veterans' partners in downtown Howell. A drunk, he claimed, came out of a bar and began an altercation. Lanham claims his team was called in and they sealed off downtown Howell and dealt with the minor altercation.
Oh my God.
One drunk guy?
Just a drunk guy.
Sealed off,
they got SEAL Team 6 in there.
Yeah. Dog Team 6.
Yep.
Yeah.
Downtown Howell.
There were text messages to a group of volunteers, including Jones, warning them the Russo-Ukraine war would end up involving US and NATO forces. He hoped for cooler heads to prevail. If those cooler heads didn't prevail, his volunteers were to meet him at a property located in Red Feather, Colorado.
Yeah, so we're setting up a WhatsApp group of all of the, like, behind-the-scenes, you know, shadow,
And these are just volunteers at the veterans thing. We're probably going to want the dog guy.
We're probably going to want the dog guy on the shadow government WhatsApp group. Who else we got on there?
Imagine just working down at the dog shelter because you thought you would get to, like, pat some dogs and help some people. But apparently, instead, you get given coordinates and, quote, on multiple occasions, he has talked about how the Department of Defense hardened the property, put in an airstrip, all these things to make it secure. Lanham, the Six News Investigates team discovered.
The dog place, yeah.
No, this is the property in Red Feather, Colorado, where everybody is to regroup
if the
Russia and Ukraine war pops property. Off.
Yeah, okay. New shadow kind Russia, of Ukraine. Defense thing going on. Okay, yep. Yep.
Lanham, the Six News Investigates team discovered, as did Jones, was convicted of 3 felony counts of computer intrusion by a federal grand jury in the Eastern District Court of Michigan based in Detroit. Computer intrusion is the legal term for hacking.
Computer intrusion.
Yeah.
It was stupid. A federal case filed in 2006, United States of America v. Kirk Lanham. He was sentenced to 21 months in federal prison and ordered to pay back more than $12,000 to his victim. Lanham was found guilty by a jury and appealed multiple issues to the federal court. All of his appeals denied.
Oh, he's like a full-on scammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not his first time.
I guarantee that this is like installing a backdoor on someone's, like, computer. Just, like, that he's not like hacking the mainframe or something. He's just got like somebody whose, like, private chats he wants to read or something.
Okay.
And so he just, you know, put a dodgy program on there be a huge
or put a keylogger thing on someone's computer to steal their internet banking password or some shit. His time in federal prison overlaps with a time in which Lanham claimed he was an active duty combat controller in the United States Air Force.
Hmm.
While Lanham spoke often about his friend,
Carlos,
the U.S. Secretary of the Navy, the man who allegedly bestowed his second star on him in a secret Pentagon promotion ceremony, a Navy spokesman denied Lanham's engagement with the Navy.
Yeah, they would. Though, well, they would. They?
Yeah, they would, obviously.
They have to.
You can't expose a secret operator like that to the risks.
We will deny everything.
Quote, the Department of the Navy has no record of Kirk A. Lanham serving in the Navy, a spokesman wrote in an email to Six News, nor any records of him meeting with senior Navy leadership. That's what they would say. Well, deny all knowledge of your mission. The Six News Investigates team also contacted each of the universities Lanham claims to have matriculated from to verify his claims. Quote, we've shared your inquiry with the MIT Registrar's Office and they do not have any record of enrollment or degree conferred for a person with the name Kirk A. Lanham, wrote Abby Abazorius, cool name, senior media relations specialist for MIT Institute Office of Communications in an email response to a team inquiry about the doctorate. We do not offer a PhD of any kind, said Northern Michigan University spokesman Derek Hall.
They just don't have PhDs.
Picking the one university.
It's got to be the highlight of your day at the registrar's office, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking so much shit.
Yeah. Hey, this guy's a huge bullshit artist, and I reckon he's got a PhD from you guys. And you're like, no, that guy is full of fucking shit. You can say I said so.
Say I said that. My name's Abby Abazorius.
A spokesperson for the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor emailed Six News a statement that Kirk A. Lanham did not appear in the university registrar's database. Google Earth images taken in 2024 of the coordinates Lanham directed volunteers to earlier this year as tensions escalated in the Russia-Ukraine war show no bunkers, as Lanham had claimed.
Yeah.
U.S. government VFR charts, documentation of airports, airspace, and landing strips reveal no airstrips in the area of the coordinates, Lanham said. Larimer County, Colorado Assessor's Office officials told Six News Lanham does not appear as a property owner on any property in Larimer County.
Seems like overkill to look at this. I think it's pretty clear that he was not telling the truth.
Well, doesn't own anything. He's renting an apartment in Kirk Van Houten's complex.
Yeah, 100%.
But surely once you got your eye in and you're kind of just swinging, you probably just want to keep. Right? Like, it would have, we already know. What else we got?
Yeah, we already know how good it feels to tick stuff off on a list, right?
Yes.
Imagine that you're like three items into list of guy's epic bullshit life.
Yeah.
You just want to get all the way down that page.
It'd be like an episode of Cheaters. You'd be having so much fun.
Jones told Six News he didn't bother to confront Latham with the results of his own sleuthing. Quote, I felt that even if confronted, I would be lied to, Jones said. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good call. You would be.
Yeah. Why stop now?
If you've ever met like a compulsive liar, like they will never, ever concede lying.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, when they're under pressure and backed into a corner, that's when you're going to get. No.
You ever see the movie Parenthood? Steve Martin and Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, yeah. I think
them
so.
Guys. I watched that recently and it hits real different when you're a parent as opposed to a kid.
It's got Mae Whitman in it. I like Mae Whitman.
Okay.
All right.
Got Rick Moranis doing some fun stuff. But like one of the plot lines in this is Steve Martin's brother, who is just like a flake and a bullshitter and all this sort of stuff. And he's like turned up back at the family home. He's got a son that his family doesn't know about. And he tries to like steal his dad's fancy old car to pay off some bookies with, you know. And he's like, I need money or they're going to kill me, you know. And his dad is like, all right, I'll bail you out. And says, you know, he's like, cool, I'll go and pay him off. I'll come back and get my son. But he just like like instantly starts up with the bullshit about, and maybe you can lend me a bit of money for this business idea that I've got to get off the ground and everything. And you can just see like in his dad's face in this scene, him just realizing like, this is who this guy is. And that's all it's ever going to be from him. Like nothing that comes out of his mouth is ever going to be a legit thing. It's this great little moment of him just, of him just registering, like, it doesn't matter what I'm talking to this dude about. He's going to be full of shit forever.
Yeah.
And that's what they were having with Mr. Lanham here, I think.
Yeah.
The one person who can shed light on the discrepancies and answer a host of lingering questions is Lanham himself. But he isn't talking to Six News Investigates. Emails, phone calls, and visits to the facility have not resulted in on-camera interviews. We began contacting Lanham on July 22nd by email and phone. The team was seeking the organization's 2021, 22, and 23 tax filings, known as 990s, as part of the initial phase of the investigation. Federal law requires nonprofit charities to make their current 990s available for inspection and review during normal business hours, so the team stopped at VSDO facility headquarters on July 25th. After ringing the video camera doorbell, Lanham opened the door to the metal pole barn space. He was busy ordering tickets for the open weekend showings of the new film, Deadpool and Wolverine.
That's such a good detail.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's such a good detail to put in the movie.
That's wonderful color, isn't it? The busy chaos of a summer blockbuster opening was a training opportunity for the organization's veterans and their canine partners.
They're doing training at Deadpool opening weekend.
He's like, I'm not missing that shit. I'm not missing that. I've been waiting.
Be looking at the exits. Just watch, you know, tactical training. I'm on your six.
Identify all your exits. Expect the unexpected. None of us expected that Hugh Jackman was going to play Wolverine again. He told us he was done with Logan, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's jokes in it about them being gay. Haven't seen it.
His tax records, Lanham told team members, weren't readily available at that moment. He said a Microsoft upgrade to his 16-byte encryption system had locked him out of the bookkeeping software and the computers in general.
This guy knows computers.
He knows computers.
He was, he said, waiting for a patch to be released by Microsoft to address the concern. And hey, as soon as that patch comes through, I'll get in touch with
you. You know how it is. You turn on your Microsoft computer, it's doing so many updates. It takes like 20 minutes.
Blue screen of death. Windows 10. You know?
Yeah.
Six News sent an email with six questions for Lanham to answer. He was given until 3 p.m. July 31st to respond to the inconsistencies between his public claims of military service and the records from the Air Force and the National Archives. He was also asked about his criminal conviction and the impact of the discrepancies on volunteers and veterans. Lanham has not responded to the email.
He's working on the next lie to get out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I good.
If you were that kind of person as well, I feel like you would just roll on, right? You'd just kind of go, like, all right, time to shave off the beard and claim that I was in a different branch of the military and it's off to the next town I go.
I think of my bad habits and vices and I'm like, well, I've never stopped any of those ever, forever. So like, because here's the thing about vices, they feel really good.
They feel really good to do. Oh, I should drink less.
Yeah.
Oh, I should stop lying about my service record.
Yeah.
But it feels so good to do.
Probably not straight away as well. Like, I'll probably do that later.
Did you guys see that today the fraudulent Republican senator guy, George Santos, pled guilty to identity theft and
wire
fraud?
He's another very funny guy.
Yeah, and again, someone who, like, very clearly is just luxuriating in the fun of bullshitting and at some point was like, oh, dang it. Oh, dang it.
This ride's got to come to an end.
I think in his case, it seems like maybe where it goes wrong for people is that, like, you do your bullshitting and people respond positively. Maybe they buy you drinks at the bar, you know. Maybe they say, thank you for your service. That'd feel nice, you know.
It probably would feel nice.
Maybe you start getting some donations and you think, oh, if I told a better story, I'd probably get more donations and more free drinks, you know, and so on and so forth. But then, like, at some point, you're starting to kind of get on the news, you're starting to employ other people. All of a sudden, like, your stories are maybe getting more exposure. Maybe, like, they're starting to break containment. You know what I mean? I was like, if your stories are all happening within the confines of your interpersonal relationships with other people, maybe you can kind of keep that managed for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It all unravels eventually. And before we go, just Google Kirk Lanham, L-A-N-A-M. Just have a look. Google him on your phone. It's Kirk the face a. of a
Lanham.
It's the face of a compulsive liar, scam artist.
Oh, yeah, he's wearing his little uniform.
Absolutely.
Just got the face of a scammer.
Yeah, this guy's stepdad coded.
He is. He's really got stepdad vibes, huh?
Yeah. Hey, do you know Amy Adams was born in Italy? Pretty cool.
She's
Italian?
I don't know. Does that make you Italian?
I don't think I can say that.
Here's a post in the subreddit r/Air Force. How do you guys feel about Kirk Lanham? Guy runs a blah, 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 blah. I'm split on this one. Guy just wanted to help and be included and didn't really commit any crazy crimes like stealing or misusing funds. It sounds like he won 1,000%.
He bought a Hyundai Palisade. He bought the Hyundai Palisade.
He had bulletproof glass installed.
I think he was misappropriating the dog funds.
Also, he was literally convicted of fraud.
Yeah, he got convicted of fraud.
He went to prison for stealing money from people. He never got paid by his organization. Oh, he took some money from his organization.
Yeah, he did. He connected some veterans with service dogs. You know, I'll give him that much.
He actually got investigated because he was spending so much money on upgrades for the nonprofit. In my opinion, I think the media just ruined a man's life and many other veterans' comfort spot. Who cares if he was lying?
Okay, Kirk.
He didn't commit any crimes. Citation needed.
Yeah, yeah.
And help veterans. So it was just replied with, the Stolen Valor Act of 2013 made it a federal crime for an individual to fraudulently represent themselves to have earned military decorations or medals with the intent to obtain money, property, or other tangible benefit with a punishment of up to 1 year in prison. And saying, it's been fraud from the very first moment he started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon that was probably... an episode of
Bunta Vista. That is definitely an episode of Bunta Vista.
Sometimes you're doing a scam, you're having fun, and then the fun has to come to an end, just like an episode of the Bunta Vista podcast. Mm-hmm. And we promised to untie you once. That's one episode down, 199 to go.
You can have a little sleep on that bed. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yep. I'll come in and turn you over every now and then so you don't get any bed sores.
Yeah, so you can lie one way, lie the other way. I'm not loosening the
cuffs. I'm not taking the cuffs off.
No.
Thanks for subscribing, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you next time.
Don't be weird about it, though.
Yeah.
Just be cool about it.
Yeah.
Be normal. Say, hey, stay out there. Stay normal. You know?
Stay normal.
Bye.
Bye.